The following is an audio recording of The New Age of Pharmacological Serfdom, How Drug Prohibition Has Turned 1 in 4 American Women into Patients for Life, published August 28, 2025, on abolishthedea.com.
Imagine that you are given a drug that you cannot seem to kick, thanks in part to the outlawing of all practical alternatives for the drug in question. Then, when you complain to your dealer, you were told that it was your medical duty to remain on that drug for a lifetime. Then, when you tried to complain about this injustice in a public forum, you were accused of encouraging risky medical behavior. After all, you are told, your complaints could cause other people to attempt the nearly impossible task of getting off the one single approved drug, which could, in turn, cause them to commit suicide. This is precisely the situation that I find myself in when it comes to antidepressants. They have turned me into a ward of the healthcare state, and I am told that it is morally wrong for me to even complain about this fact. Thus we see how thoroughly the modern capitalist system has leveraged propaganda and product branding, not to mention self-interested chop logic, to create a world that is completely inimical to our freedom to take care of our own health. Completely, the psychiatric establishment first kicks you down by rendering you dependent upon them for life. And then they kick you when you're down, by telling you that you must not even complain about this disempowering status quo. I do not say that this is conscious evil on anyone's part, but rather that this new world of pharmacological serfdom in which we live is a natural result of drug prohibition in a capitalist society. Such a drugs policy gives a monopoly to Big Pharma on creating mind and mood medicine, and such businesses will naturally seek to create drugs that will guarantee them patients for life. Meanwhile, the medical establishment profits enormously by claiming expertise on mind and mood conditions. Thus, they set themselves up as experts on solving all the problems that they themselves have created, by outlawing godsends like opium and coca. But guess what is really amazing? What's really amazing is the fact that I am the only one complaining about this hateful status quo. Sure, you can find people bemoaning the psychiatric pill mill, and you can find them bemoaning drug prohibition, but no one connects the dots between these two injustices. No one shows how drug prohibition has created far, far more chemical dependency than ever existed before the 1914 Harrison Narcotics Act. 1 in 4 American women take a Big Pharma drug every day of their life, which is more than twice the number of Americans who used opium regularly when it was still legal in America. Prior to drug prohibition, one could use a variety of drugs, including various formulations of opium and coca, to treat problems symptomatically, from sleeplessness to an anxiety to intolerable grief. After prohibition, the self-interested medical establishment told us that all such problems were discrete pathologies and that only medical professionals could cure them. We were fed the philosophically challenged lie that there is a real materialist cure for psychological problems and that any other approach was just treating the symptoms. And so we created the kinds of meds that have turned 1 in 4 American women into patients for life, a fact which, in a sane world, would be seen as nothing less than the greatest pharmacological dystopia of all time, but which, in this age of materialist triumphalism, is actually considered a medical utopia. The pill mill is indeed a utopia, but not for patients. It is a utopia for pharmaceutical companies and psychiatrists who have been guaranteed patients for life thanks to drug prohibition. We should never try to cure conditions like human sadness once and for all. We should treat them in such a way as to help create virtuous circles in life that can promote healthy behavior. Meanwhile, all drugs that inspire and elate have potential common sense uses as antidepressants. But science is blind to common sense in the age of materialism and behaviorism. When it comes to drug efficacy, we ignore all anecdote, all history, and all common sense, insisting instead that drug use must be justified under a microscope with reference to chemical pathways. But the fact that drugs have common sense positive uses for human beings is actually just a psychological corollary of phenomenology, according to which experience matters. Only a purblind materialist can think of sadness as an illness. But we should never try to cure an illness that we cannot even define. What is human sadness, anxiety, and angst? Human sadness should be treated, not cured. Indeed, look what happened when we tried to cure human sadness with miracle pills. We created the greatest mass pharmacological dystopia of all times, a real-world Stepford Wives. How did we arrive at this pass? Because the reductive approach of modern materialism renders our doctors blind to all obvious benefits of drugs and causes them to look for drug efficacy under a microscope. But there can never be a cure for the human condition that we call depression, any more than there can be a cure for life itself, other than death, of course. This is because depression is more than what meets the eye of the behaviorist. Depression is felt and lived by people in ways that materialist doctors cannot understand. The precise nature of an appropriate cure for any given depression, were such a cure conceivable, would depend entirely on the individual, their goals in life, their risk tolerance, their biochemistry, their genetics, their psychosocial upbringing, and so forth. But surely it is obvious to everyone who thinks that we should not try to cure human sadness. We should have left well enough alone, and let people treat their own psychological issues as they saw fit, when they saw fit. In a hysteria-fueled effort to save them from themselves, we have created the greatest mass dependency of all time. And we have so normalized this disempowering policy that we are told it we are not even supposed to complain about it. In the future, when sociologists wish to demonstrate the power of propaganda and fear-mongering and groupthink and crowd delusion, not to mention the mind-closing power of economic self-interest, they will point to America's disastrous policy of drug prohibition.
You have been listening to an essay entitled "The New Age of Pharmacological Serfdom: How Drug Prohibition Has Turned 1 in 4 American Women into Patients for Life," published August 28, 2025, on abolishthedea.com. For more information about America's disgraceful drug war, which is anti-patient, anti-minority, anti-scientific, anti-mother nature, imperialistic, the establishment of the Christian Science religion, a violation of the natural law upon which America was founded, and a childish and counterproductive way of looking at the world, one which causes all of the problems that it purports to solve, and then some, visit the drug war philosopher at abolishthedea.com.